Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the GTC conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, the 19th of January, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Małgorzata Zaplińska. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you on today's conference call. The call will be focused on the press release or on the current report that we put on Friday. It will be held by Thomas Kurtmann, the CEO of the company, as well as Erez Banyol, the CFO of the company. Let me pass the microphone to Thomas.
Good morning, everybody. I have to excuse ourselves that the conference was a little bit delayed because of a big queue in the operators. Looks like took us also a lot of time to get into it. Let's focus on the issue we have to discuss today. We posted the current report on Friday after having a brief meeting with our appraisers and also the auditors, including the audit committee of the supervisory board. Most of the appraisals came in over the last couple of days, last weeks. We had to make sure that they are quality checked, and some of them are still preliminary, but the information contained in these appraisals, in the summary of the appraisals, led us to the fact that we are informing our investors. We have been reviewing our portfolio very careful in the last quarter, again, of 2014, especially with the focus on our retail portfolio, which is located in secondary cities in Romania, Croatia, and some in Bulgaria. Our review was focused on the results of our very huge attempts to bring forward these non-performing assets by investing a lot of efforts and cash into marketing campaigns, into income management to increase footfall and turnover in these malls. The results of the turnover numbers we received during the Christmas period of trading were not satisfied and not satisfying us, lower than expected, so we had to share all this information with our appraisers, and we also had to review our business plans for all these properties, which led to the decision at the end that we are not anymore investing further into this asset, and the decision is to sell those assets on the market for the best possible price, of course. We had to realize that if we cannot fix it, we have to sell it. We also did some review on some of our land bank we own for further development, and some of those projects also had to be analyzed in very different numbers than expected before, because basically B location office space and locations, and also the same for residential, especially in Hungary. We could not really come up with indications supporting the initial plans to further develop. We also had to take more realistic assumptions on the valuation on that one. Basically, we believe that we did a very careful analysis. We think that we took all the further developments to be expected into account on the new valuations. It is important for GTC and for the operation to focus our resources we have on each of those countries, on our main portfolio, and also on the further development of the core assets we want to stay with, which means that we are focusing on capitals only at the moment in the regions. Exception, of course, is in Poland, because we are active in more secondary cities as well, which are performing pretty good for us. But in Hungary, Romania, we are focusing on Budapest and Bucharest, and by hopefully selling most of these non-performing assets in the next, let's say, 3 quarters, we can also focus much more on what we shall do and on our further growth and acquisitions in the capitals. We believe that the new values on our portfolio are now a very good base for further growth and for further developing GTC. And I also believe that by having these new values, our portfolio and the portfolio allocation over the different countries we have will start now to be more balanced in itself. You never can avoid that some of the assets are having changes in value, but I believe that we are heading now into a phase where the portfolio will balance in terms of some assets might go a little bit up, some might go a little bit down, but at the end, the whole portfolio will be much more stable than in the past. I would like to hand over to Erwes now to explain a little bit more in detail the relations and the numbers where the devaluations happened at the most, and at the same time we'll also explain the impact of liquidity situation of GTC by having this devaluations. Erwes, please, can you continue?
Yes, thank you. So beginning with the breakdown of the devaluations, if we aggregate that by country, the main countries that were affected are Croatia with about 22% of the devaluation, Hungary with the same percentage, and Romania with 27% of the devaluation. In Bulgaria, we accounted for 12% of the devaluation, and the rest of the countries are relatively small contributors to this exercise. Looking at the asset category, the completed assets contributed 60%, whereas impairment of land, commercial and residential land, altogether about 20% each. So it means that not only the completed assets, those weak assets were depreciated, but also the land that is located in these countries, in particular in Hungary, this land was devaluated to reflect the future use of this land. We talk mostly about lands that are located in Budapest, designated for B-class type of development. However, as we explained already in Q1 last year, we do not see our chance to develop these lands in the foreseen horizon, and therefore these lands were categorized by us as non-core assets designated for sale if market conditions will allow. So altogether, we are much closer to realization value of these plots rather than the development. And this point of view, of course, has some impact on the approach of valuation. Looking at the completed assets, on average, the exit yield was increased from 8.6% to 8.9%. And the ERV declined from 13.8% to 13.1%. This adds some stabilization in terms of the technical approach to the devaluation, but also strategic-wise, as Thomas mentioned, we are focusing much more on the completed assets that can generate cash, but moreover, as part of the growth story, we have to focus on cash generating assets that will contribute free cash and add value to the portfolio. This brings us to the issue of liquidity, and there are various aspects related to that. The first one is the situation regarding covenants of those assets that were depreciated. Naturally, when the depreciated is so deep, the loan to value is touched, is breached. And we have commenced discussions with the lenders. Primarily, we talk about EBRD, who lend to most of these assets, to restructure the loans. Now, some of the loans, as mentioned in the current report, some of the loans will be restructured in a way that will reflect the fact that GTC guaranteed the loans, and therefore. The idea is, whilst we sell the assets and generate some cash to reduce the exposure, GTC will take over the loans and will amortize them based on a schedule to be agreed with the lender. Other assets, such as and the Felicity residential project, here, in both cases, the value is lower than the loan, but the loans are not guaranteed. And as part of the structure, wherein we commence discussion with the bank that either we sell the asset together at the best price, or we simply hand over the asset to the bank. So in both cases, if ultimately we will not find buyer who is willing to pay more, we will have to simply cancel the loan, which will then be booked as a certain profit, but will have no impact on cash. Regarding Galeria Varna, here we don't have covenants, but we recently got an offer that we are now in the stages of evaluating the offer. That's a project that for many, many years we are trying to dispose. We got an offer, and hopefully, if this will be successful, we'll be able to generate some cash from the sale of Varna, and more importantly, stop the leakage or stop subsidizing this project. Looking at the total cash flow of the company, we are trying to, I would say, structure the cash flow and the timing in a way that it will be easy for us to manage the cash going forward. Obviously, the situation is delicate, but we have 78 million euro in cash, which we are planning to use very carefully. If in the future we'll be able to raise cash, this is, of course, this will be a positive news which will contribute to the strength and to the stability of the cash. In terms of gearing ratio, despite the strong devaluation, the gearing ratio is still below the required threshold, the strategic threshold that was set by the company. And we plan to maintain it in this way. Again, naturally, strengthening the capital of the company as well as the operation of the company by adding cash-generating assets is the most desired situation. Nevertheless, if this will last long or there will be uncertainties related to that, we have contingent plans to continue and maintaining a good cash basis. This might need to involve sale of one or two assets just to be able to maintain positive cash. But naturally, the sale of assets will coincide with our strategy to sell maturing assets. So this is not something a special step that we need to do just for the cash. This is part of the normal ongoing basis. Currently, we did not earmark any asset for such a sale. But that's a plan that we can always do. We have several attractive assets in various locations that each one of them can generate excess cash, free cash, and this is taken into consideration. I think by that we covered all aspects of this current report. If you have any questions, we will be glad to take them.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Jacob Cathmalt from Wood & Co. Please ask your question.
Hello. Thanks for the brief overview. This is Jacob Samler from Wood & Co. Three questions from my side, if I may, and if possible, I would take them one by one. First, in the press release, you mentioned the decrease of the fair values could potentially impact some of the covenants, and you already said a few words on the various options you got there. Just if you could specify a bit for me. I mean, for instance, you were to sell a certain property exactly at book, while at the same time the total project loan would be basically still higher than the book value. Would GTC need to fund the excess liability, and also could you give us a rough figure on how much would it cost GTC to fund all the loans with breach covenants, where you actually guarantee the loans as you said it, in order to arrive at some, say, 60-70% LTV in each of the respective properties? Or in case I'm viewing this wrong, would it be all right just to arrive at 100% LTV?
Okay, the answer in a few aspects. First, regarding the amounts, they are all detailed in the current report. The total amounts are there. The realizable amount, meaning how much we will get for selling the asset, this is still something that is to be negotiated with potential buyers. We don't have certainty regarding that. In any case, the entire loan is guaranteed by GTC in the case of Piatra Nimet, Osiek, Arad, and Stara Zagora. And therefore, GTC plans to take on board the loans, meaning to move it to the corporate level. The loans related to Piatra Nimet, Osiek, and Arad. Stara Zagora has not been discussed yet. To take on board, amortize it over certain period, couple of years, and by that, once and for all, resolve the situation of these assets. Regarding Felicity and Shashad, here GTC will not have to top up any money. So accounting-wise, it's going to be a profit if there will be such difference.
I see. Thank you. And also from the, say, whole cash flow point of view, which you also mentioned, what is the amount coming due in 2015 in terms of debt maturity? I mean, in the last quarterly update, I believe it has been around 100 million euros. Circa half of this has been project level debt. The rest has been already under negotiations. So have there been any changes with respect to these amounts due? And also, could you tell us a few words about where do you stand in terms of the progress with swapping part of the debt which is coming due for the Felicity office?
So the Felicity residential, you mean?
Sorry.
Yeah. Felicity is a residential project. Regarding the details of how we're going to structure the loan, what will be short-term, what will be longer-term, it's too early yet because this has not been agreed, and I hope by publication of Q1 we will come with a precise amortization schedule. Obviously, we take into account the cash needs of the company, and we do not plan to take an excessive debt that we cannot service. So it means that the amortization schedule will have to accommodate the resources of the company and the plans of the company going forward for at least 12 months.
I see, thanks. Lastly, if you'd allow me one country-specific question, and it's regarding Bulgaria. There you have cut value, as you mentioned, over 10%, and the properties there are booked at over 9% yield, which I was fairly conservative. And with the cut, the ERVs seem to got to or even slightly below the actual rent levels. But basically, I believe that in Burgas, where the bigger of the two shopping centers is located, it's a fairly important holiday resort, and among others for the Russian clientele. So, if you could tell us a few words about to what extent are the revenues of the shops there dependent on tourists? How big is the share of the local customers in the center? Whether the Russian economic weakness could have any sizable implication on one or both of the Bulgarian centers?
Jakob, I think that's not the main topic of this conversation. I'll be very glad to speak with you on Bulgaria in a separate call. But I think there are many analysts now that are looking for answers about the main devaluation reason.
I think we can just summarize that Burgas is still the mall which it paid off to invest further. So this is the best performer out of this low-performing asset thing. And we intend to continue the operation because we see big improvements in turnovers and footfall and everything. No matter if Russians are coming or not, this is also a local market which is quite healthy.
Perfect. That makes it good.
The best season, because they're mostly coming in the summertime, obviously, and buying. But we had the highest turnover ever this summer.
All right, perfect. Yep, that makes it clear for me. Thank you very much for the answers.
Your next question comes from the line of Kesari Bernatek from Bezi. Please ask your question.
Hi, everybody. It's Cezary Bernatek from Banca Espirito Santo. So basically, I got two questions. First of all, I think it was already touched. Given the preliminary purchase offers you received for some of the problematic assets, is there a risk that you're going to sell them significantly below the book value? Any risk of further losses on the sale of these assets? That's the first one.
The reason why we did also have new assumptions together with the appraisers is because of receiving some of the offers from the market. So we are now very close to market reality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And the second question is concerning the plans for the share capital increase. You mentioned you would like to come back with the topic of share cap increase for income-generating assets purchase in the first half of the year. Any changes concerning these plans in this recent context? Could you please give us some updates about it?
No, there's absolutely no change. We still believe that our plan for growing the company with buying income-producing assets with some upside is still fully valid, and we will come back to our shareholders in the first half of 2015 as planned.
Okay, thank you very much.
Operator, do we have more questions? Operator?
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your next question comes from the line of Michael Kuzawinski from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Hi, it's Michal Kuzawinski. I have a question on when these outstanding loan amounts are becoming due. You write in your report that, for instance, for the first three projects, they could be called within 6 to 12 months. Is that correct? So you have to repay this full amount stated within 6 to 12 months, or is it still going to be negotiated?
I will clarify. Theoretically, due to the LTV breach, the lender can call the loan or declare default, and then we have 6 to 12 months remedy period. However, since we have good relationship with the lender, and the lender fully understands the situation and trusts that GTC can service the debt, the lender in principle is willing to spread the loan beyond the 6 to 12 months for a couple of years to be negotiated, and then it will be amortized in a more comfortable manner.
Okay, I see. So it's subject to negotiations. My next question is on these unguaranteed loans. I mean, do you think that just simply kind of, you know, giving away the loan to the bank and, you know, letting it, you know, dealing with it in terms of potential, you know, sell down and you know, partial repayment, would this affect, you know, your overall cost of funding for other projects? Because I believe, you know, it would be probably, you know, a precedence in your history, right, to do that, to just walk away from a project loan.
Right. Relatively, we don't talk about high amounts here, but moreover, the state of the relationship is such that we approach this project jointly. There's no hard feeling between GTC and the bank or the bank and GTC. The bank knew exactly which project they financed. They knew the risk. They were compensated for this risk. So it is done in a jointly and amicable manner. So I don't think there will be an impact on the total, especially that we talk here about specific situations, specific SPVs, and we talk about residential market in which we are not active anymore in development. So I think this is ring fence and isolated.
Okay, and how do you think this new situation is affecting your ability to carry out the development of Białowęka in terms of, you know, access to funding, potential, you know, equity contributions, etc., etc.? I mean, so what's the read across for Białowęka from this?
Okay, the discussion regarding financing of Białowęka is very advanced. We have more than one offer that is committed to finance the project. It is totally unrelated to this situation or these loans. This morning I had a discussion with the potential funder of Białowęka, and each one of them, every single bank that I discussed with, was very positive. They appreciated the news. I think they all look for recovery, and their perception, and I confirm this perception, is that this will only improve the cash from operations, and therefore they will get a much stronger borrower than before.
Okay, so you mean as a result of the planned restructuring, your cash from operations would improve, right? Because these assets were kind of loss-making, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Just two more questions. The first one is on LTV. I mean, it's now 58%. I mean, not far from your 60% limit. You know, what's your perception here on potential, you know, incremental equity requirements to bring the LTV more in line with kind of, you know, your average targeted levels? So, referring also to the question on your continued plan to raise equity for growth, do you think that as part of that plan, you may now add an element of, doing another step of recapitalization of the company right now to bring LTV to more normalized levels?
But primarily, the LTV should grow by adding values, not by capitalizing the company. So adding capital, which will be used to add a value-added project, immediately will improve the LTV. And this is the prime target of the company, by raising capital. Right now, this high LTV, or relatively high, is an artificial LTV due to devaluations. But as we will add projects that will generate cash, not only the value will be added, we will also be able to deploy cash or deploy the loans in a way that will increase the return on assets and the return on equity. So this is a fundamental step in bringing the company to a growth mode.
Would the factor will also be that as soon as the big two shopping mall developments in Warsaw will go under construction, we will also see some value increase there, and this value increase will also support to bring the LTV down to a lower level as it is now.
Okay, thank you. So as part of the potential, you know, remedy plan that you highlighted, you know, some potential disposals of assets, at present you don't consider selling part of either Biolanka or Vilano project, you know, a stake in this project to any partner?
Not yet, no. It's not the plan. Because we have to make sure that we are generating the big upside in this project for existing shareholders, and we do not intend to share it at the moment with somebody else.
Okay, and just how comfortable do you feel that EBRD will agree to some, you know, restructuring, prolongation of the maturities on all of these projects where you have a recourse to GTC?
We found a very receptive approach with EBRD, and I'm confident that we can reach an agreement.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Mario Gallet.
Follow-up question. Is there any foreign currency risk related to the finance agreements that you mentioned in your recent press release?
No.
All right. Thanks.
There seems to be no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you very much to all for participating in that call. I hope we answered all your questions. If there are any more questions coming, please give me a call. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.